Good afternoon, Eastern Washington and fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from deep inside the heart of the future Liberty State. Brought to you once again by On Fire Ministries and the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story. And the news behind the news, it's not about right or left, it's about right and wrong. About our hope not being a man, but in Jesus Christ, about not ending in... And this is very key, not ending in prayer, but also moving to action. The gospel of the kingdom, Isaiah 61, 1 through 4. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord anointed me to bring good news to the humble. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim release to captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the cloak of praise instead of a disheartened spirit. So they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Then they will rebuild the ancient ruins, they will raise up the former devastations, and they will repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Now, talk about a couple things quickly here. Number one, a lot of people have been asking, hey, where can we go to access the podcast quickly, see the church services on Sunday, and you know, other content like the worship in the park? All right, here is what you do. Go to the Church Center app. Church Center app. It's going to ask you to get started. Click on that. Then you can open it up and type in On Fire Ministries Spokane, and it will come up. Click on that, and then you're off to the races for all the rest of the instructions. So Church Center app, download that on your phone, find On Fire Ministries in Spokane, and you'll be able to sign up for small groups. You'll be able to sign up and register for events. The school registration will be on there as well. You'll have access to Patriot Radio, and then coming soon, Church and State, all from one place. All you have to do is click on one thing and you're done. It has the calendar, has everything. So go to the Church Center app and get that. It makes life a lot easier. That's the way we can also communicate with you, sending messages back and forth, etc. So again, the Church Center app, On Fire Ministries, Spokane. A lot of people have been asking about that, so that's why that part's important, because people want to, they want to take action. They want to take action. They want to move. All right. Now from the front, your daily intelligence briefing on the international front, coming to us from Deb Kefile, is Israel's new prime minister, Naftali Bennett. Quote, the world must wake up before nuke in hands of executioners, end quote. So once again, there is a ginning up of tension, strife between Iran and Israel. This follows on the heels of Iran's presidential election, where, again, it continues to be hardline. Okay, I'm going to stop there for a second. All right. If you read the Reliance of the Traveler, which is the foremost law book put out regarding Sunni Islam, which is put out by and has a stamp of approval as the authentic beliefs of Sunni Islam from Al-Azhar University in Egypt. So it's considered like the Harvard of Egypt, if you will, but in religious studies. Well, Harvard used to be religious studies, but we know where it is now. All right. So, Reliance of the Traveler lays out the beliefs of Islam. So, there's no question what Sharia law means, etc. What people miss is Iran actually wrote into its constitution Sharia law, wrote into their political structure exactly the same thing. And so, you have this, even though they're Shia, you have this connection through Sharia law. Very important to understand. And so people are like, well, the elections, the Iranians had elections, and people who believe in Sharia law were elected. Yes, there's a little bit of difference between Sunni and Shia eschatology, or the study of end times. But the fact of the matter is that this regime over there in Iran is following exactly what they're following. This shouldn't be anything new. They're following Sharia law. Shouldn't be anything new. But this total ignorance, especially in the mainstream media about Islam, I mean, it's just laughable. Like, you ask him, have you ever read the Quran, the Tafsir Ibn Kathir, which is the verse-by-verse explanation of the Quran? Have you read the Sirah and the Sunnah? Have you read any of these things? And most of you just caught what I did, if you have any understanding. So my point with it is this. It shouldn't be a surprise that there is a hardline regime in Iran. That shouldn't be a surprise. They're trying to gin up a war in the Middle East. That's what's happening right now. And there is a covert war already happening between Iran and Israel, and the United States for that matter. This also coming to us from Deb Kafala. Iran's Bashir nuclear plant has been temporarily shut down for a technical overhaul. The emergency shutdown began on Saturday and is expected to last for 3 to 4 days and cause power outages. The plant is supplied and maintained by Russian technicians, has been in operation for 10 years. And this is its first known breakdown. That's interesting. So you have this continued covert warfare that is happening between Israel and Iran. And again, they're trying to gin up a war now in the Middle East. So keep your eyes on that. Again, this should not be a surprise to anybody that's been listening to the show. All right. Also from the international front, coming to us from InfoWars, Canadian Prime Minister told staff, quote, Kamala will be president by 2022. This is after, on the heels of the absolutely embarrassing performance of the pretender at the G7 and at NATO. So the Canadian Prime Minister told his staff that. Again, we're looking very weak. And who is emboldened? Well, one country that's been emboldened is Turkey. They have said they are going to invoke the treaty they have in Gaza and in the West Bank, the Palestinian Authority, which means that this treaty would allow them to intervene like they have in Libya with tanks. And now, as we're hearing, drones coming to us from popularmechanics.com. The world's first recorded case of an autonomous drone attacking humans took place in March 2020, according to the United Nations Security Report. So this is old news, which is detailing the ongoing second Libyan civil war. Libyan force, and by the way, if you have never heard of the presidential study directive, how that impacted the Arab Spring and how the Obama administration supported the Muslim Brotherhood, you need to look that up. It's on both Understanding the Threat and the Center for Security Policy, if you want to follow up on research with that. All right. So this Turkish-made drone hunted down and jammed retreating enemy forces, preventing them from using their own drones. So the first now admitted drone attacking humans took place in March 2020. So it's now well over a year old. And we need to understand that this is going to be continuing into the future. Which brings us to the next thing on the international front, and that is a Chinese defector. This is coming to us from townhall.com. A Chinese defector has reportedly given us information about COVID and also Joe and Hunter Biden. How about that? Here's a very quick summary of this. It comes from the article. The defector, I'm not going to use his name on radio, even though it's in the article. You can look that up yourselves. All right. Early pathogenic studies of the virus, we now know as SARS-CoV-2, these studies were provided to the Defense Intelligence Agency. In addition to that, models of the COVID-19 spread and the damage to the United States and world were also provided. So in other words, China knew about this stuff. Financial records detailing which exact organizations and governments funded the research on SARS-CoV-2 and other biological warfare research. That's explosive. Names of U.S. citizens who provide intelligence to China. Names of Chinese spies working in the U.S. or attending U.S. universities. Financial records showing U.S. businessmen and public officials who've received money from the Chinese government. Huh? Can anyone say Eric Swalwell? Okay. Details of meetings U.S. government officials had, perhaps unwittingly, with Chinese spies and members of Russia's SVR. How the Chinese government gained access to the CIA communication system, leading to the death of dozens of Chinese people who were working with the CIA. And then last but not least, the Bidens are part of this intelligence dump as well. This defector has provided the DIA with copies of contents of the hard drive on Hunter Biden's laptop, showing the information the Chinese government has on Hunter's pornography problem and about his, that being Joe, the pretender's, business dealings with Chinese entities. In other words, Chinese government has this, which means the Russian government very likely has this stuff too, which explains why when Biden met with Putin, it seemed that he sold out the Ukraine. Even though there was a big business deal with Ukraine, it seems like Putin, trying to butter him up, said a few things like, oh, he is on his game, right? And then Biden in the open, the pretender in the open, gives Putin a list of critical infrastructure not to attack by cyber. Who does that? Understand the strategic ramifications of what's happening right now. Putin has this stuff, held it over Biden's head in order that Russia could negotiate a deal very favorable to Russia, just like Stalin did with agents inside the Roosevelt administration during World War II. That is a matter of historic fact. In fact, Alger Hiss was later convicted, actually, of spying, a key advisor to Roosevelt, along with several others who later it was conclusively proven they were Soviet agents. They're doing the same thing again. The real Russian collusion is with the Democrats and these Marxists in government. And that's why they were projecting it onto the right. Now, here's the key with this. The pretender now is held over a barrel by both the Chinese and the Russians. Not only is the guy unfit for office, not only did he actually lose the election, now foreign governments are leveraging the pretender for their own gain and to the detriment of the security of the United States and some of our partners around the world in countries that love freedom, including the Ukraine. Incredible. Follow what's happening. This is absolutely devastating. So you can read this up on Town Hall. I did post it, so you can find it on the Patriot Radio Facebook page or my personal Facebook page as well. All right. That moves us to the National Front. CDC whistleblowers. Center for Disease Control whistleblowers is coming to us from Liberty Sentinel and Leo Hallman, who has been around for a long time, very well respected. CDC whistleblowers, 50,000. I want you to hear that number again. 50,000 Americans dead from the COVID shot so far. The most highly cited physician, Dr. Peter McCullough, on the early treatment of COVID-19 has come out with an explosive new video that blows the lid off the medical establishment's complicity in the unnecessary death of tens of thousands of Americans. He said COVID was a bioweapon. Now we have a Chinese defector who is seemingly supporting that and corroborating that. He said that COVID was a bioweapon and the vaccines represent phase two of that bioweapon. I want you to hear that quote again. He said COVID was a bioweapon and the vaccines represent phase two of that bioweapon. Both the respiratory virus and the vaccine delivered to the human body the spike protein, the gain-of-function target of this bioterrorism research. Folks, this is incredible. The gain-of-function target of the research was the spike protein, which is in the vaccine and in COVID. Totally explains a ton right now of what is happening. All right. Now, we're going to shift gears just a little bit. Just a little bit. I want you to hear this, too. This is coming to us from Technocracy News on the National Front. Quote, magnetoprotein genetically engineered to control brains and behavior. Brains and behavior. So this magnetoprotein genetically engineered to control brains and behavior. This is potentially the most dangerous and dystopian development in genetic modification in history. The researchers inserted the magneto DNA sequence into the genome of a virus. What? They're actually experimenting on how to control behavior. And now they're coming out. There's several other articles. I can't get to them today. Talking about how people want to control behavior and what you eat, like make you averse to eating meat. And we saw that here a few weeks ago with our special guest on the show who talked about how they are trying to make it so people won't be eating cattle. In other words, they won't be eating beef. They will be eating petri dish created meat or insect protein. In other words, ground up insects. Okay, like, and then is that a short step from the recycling of human bodies as was predicted in the movie Soylent Green? Unreal. All right. Also on the national front, the control mechanism of a one-world economy continues to come forward. And this coming to us from Technocracy News, universal basic income experiments expand to 20 cities and 14 states. Universal basic income is an original tenet of technocracy in the 1930s. It was also a communist, a Marxist tenet. So far, none of these universal basic income tenants have been experiments have been successful. Here's the important part about this. Toward the end of this summer, all four major banks are going to be rolling out what they call, quote, digital money, end quote. And essentially what this is cryptocurrency recognized by the bank, and the bank, and these are the major banks. So you're talking like Chase, Wells Fargo, etc. They're going to roll this out so that the banks now become one of the doors in. Right now, to get into cryptocurrency, use things like Coinbase. It's going to be the banks that are going to do this. And it's a short step for them to then say, okay, this is the cryptocurrency we actually recognize as official. And then there's only one way into it, through those four major banks. And there's only one way out of it. And that, everyone, is slavery. So UBI, universal basic income, is a way to essentially mollify and enslave a population by saying, okay, you will get this money, even for doing nothing, if you play ball and go into the system. And then they will try to demonize people who are not part of the system by saying something like this. And mark my words about what I'm about to say if you don't hear this in the future. You are going to hear this in the future because this is their plan. They're going to try to say that if you don't come into the system, you must be doing something evil or illegal. And of course, Christians don't. True Christians won't want to go into such a system. They're going to try to demonize Christians, that Christians must be doing something evil if they're not part of this one world economic system. So check that article out. Universal basic income experiments expanding to 20 cities and 14 states. Check that out on Technocracy News. All right. Also on the national front, Dinesh D'Souza. Okay, now, Dinesh D'Souza not one prone to throwing things out there. Dinesh D'Souza called out the FBI this week for being America's greatest domestic terrorist threat today. Say that again. Dinesh D'Souza called out the FBI this week for being America's greatest domestic terrorist threat today. Quote, the FBI is a grave threat to our national security. In fact, I would say the FBI now poses a greater threat to our national security than any militant white supremacist group. Thugs with badges are always more dangerous than thugs on the street. The FBI's informants and infiltrators reportedly led the charge on the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. The FBI operatives were inserted into conservative groups and plotted an attack on the U.S. Capitol and were among the most violent protesters at the Capitol that day. Whew! This is based on that Revolver article we talked about last week. It's coming to us from Gateway Pundit. Check this out. I'm going to post this one up. Everybody needs to read this, okay? Every single person listening to this show today needs to read this article. Absolutely explosive. Explosive stuff. All right. Next, this coming to us from Populist Press, and this is another news aggregate I talked about last week. So you have Readout Report, Populist Press. Check these out. Ken Bennett, the Senate liaison to Maricopa County, Arizona election audit, stated on Friday that there are more than 33,000 ballots from November's election where voters made no selection for president, or at least no votes that were detected by the voting machines. In other words, there were over 33,000 undervotes. So this is interesting. Now, if you don't know what an undervote is, so in other words, they vote for everything else or most everything else on the ballot, but they don't vote for a specific election. This could account for some of the votes that may have been counted to the pretender. That's the import of that. Wow. All right. Also on the national front, Trump advisor drops bomb about being reinstated as president. Boris Epstein said that no one can state for certain that it would be unconstitutional for former President Donald Trump to be reinstated to the presidency during or since the Constitution does not prohibit reinstatement and the issue has never been ruled upon. The interplay of the 10th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, the 12th Amendment, would suggest that states do have a right to decertify an election, and from then, it's an open question what happens next. Now, they keep putting this narrative arc out there. I'm telling you right now, no Marxist is going to leave the White House peacefully, even if they prove fraud here. Understand that, everybody. They don't just go quietly into the good night. This was an attack. This election last November was an attack on our country. They're not just going to walk away from it. And I think it's dangerous to start putting it in there like they're just, it's just going to be some sort of a peaceful reinstatement. If they do indeed prove fraud in a manner that would be admissible in court, we're talking about a serious crisis in this country. And I think, candidly, they want another crisis, whether that's a cyber attack or this or whatever. They want another crisis so they can implement more control mechanisms. We're seeing it right now. All right. Also from Populist Press, Pence gets devastating news. And this is interesting. So they did a poll at the Western Conservative Summit, which is the largest such summit for conservatives. DeSantis, so the governor of Florida, topped the list for vice president with a 74.12% approval rating, followed by Trump at 71.43. You heard that correctly. Okay. So what they're basically saying is, and then there's a far distant Ted Cruz at 42% and Mike Pompeo at 39%. Mike Pence was at 21%. So in other words, what they're saying is that DeSantis narrowly beat out Trump as the most popular Republican for 2024. But what likely would happen is that DeSantis would become the vice president. Now it's very clear that Pence will be nowhere near that, and he shouldn't be. He should be nowhere near that at all. The man who could have done something, who knew this was an attack on the country and did the wrong thing, inexcusable, should never be in elected office again. No Republican should. If you're a true Republican, or even you just love America and you're not called by a party label, you should never, ever support Pence again. And that is what that poll is showing. All right. Also on Populist Press, Trump won by over 1 million votes in Pennsylvania. Former New York Police Department Commissioner Bernie Kerik explained on Steve Bannon's War Room Monday morning that based on his analysis, he believes Donald Trump won by 1 million votes in Pennsylvania. And they squashed it. He added that a forensic audit there is going to be the most substantial of any in the country. And then he has a video clip for that. I'm going to go ahead and post that one up online as well. But I want to talk about another thing, lastly, on the national front today, that I kind of, I think this is important that we don't miss this, okay? This coming to us from The New American. The New American does a lot of research. The article is written by Steve Bias. Evidence is clear. Vice President Harris is not constitutionally eligible to hold the office she now holds. Harris is not constitutionally eligible in the current office she has, much less could she be elevated to the office of president, like the Canadian PM briefed his staff recently, because her parents. And it's very clear that her parents did not meet the threshold of naturalized U.S. citizen. So I'm going to post that article up there to read that. And get yourself educated on that and educate your friends and family as well. All right, on the regional front and the local front, I want to talk about this weekend. We're going to be doing a Freedom Weekend. We have Peggy Golden, who is a fantastic minister of the word. She's going to be at the DoubleTree Hotel on Saturday at 9 a.m. It's going to be most of the day she's going to be doing teaching and ministry. Again, Peggy Golden this Saturday. Also, we have our youth camp coming up for On Fire Ministries, which will be in July. And if you want more information on that, again, go to the app, Church Center, download On Fire Ministries. Make sure you select that, Spokane, and you can contact us for more information. And that is the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American, truly freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that's been praying for us, as always. Thank you to everybody that showed up at worship in the park. It was awesome. We had a whole bunch of lives that were touched. We had a baptism there in the park as well. We're going to keep doing this throughout the summer, so stay tuned for more. And remember, Patriot Radio is also on iTunes, Podbean, Spotify, and Amazon. And it's my pleasure to introduce our guest today, Diane Douglas. She is the former superintendent of public instruction for the state of Arizona. And I want to read a couple things about her that are fantastic. She's now turned her efforts to sounding the alarm about government-controlled, politically correct indoctrination of public schools and helping parents find true educational alternatives for their children, like Kingdom Christian Academy here in Spokane, part of On Fire Ministries. Diane, thank you so much for joining me on Patriot Radio today. It's a pleasure to have you on.
Thank you so much for having me, if I may call you Matt.
You may, indeed. We're simple here. Well, Diane, let's talk a little bit about this. The indoctrination that is happening, I'm still kind of stunned that parents are surprised when something new comes out about this, when a lot of people over the years have been trying to expose this stuff. Let's talk a little bit about what is actually happening in our public schools right now.
Oh, my goodness, Matt, where do I begin? You know, I left office in the very end of 2018, beginning of 2019. And it has gone on steroids since I have left office. I can't believe how radical it's been coming. But one of the things that's particularly scary, and I was at a meeting today, a luncheon meeting, where a mom who I was sitting next to said, you know, yes, these terrible things are going on, but not at my daughter's school. And it's like, oh, yes, they are. The critical race theory, the sexualization of our children. But what parents don't realize, it's been a part of a very long-term plan.
Well, I think that's the important part to understand. This is an arc that has been happening over the last 100 years. If you could tell listeners a little bit about that history and give some specifics about what is actually being taught or what they're actually putting on the table to be taught here in the near future.
Well, the beginning, I mean, it's been going on for, over 150 years. You know, Horace Mann began it, but where it really took effect was with John Dewey, because what he did was co-opt the process by which we train our teachers, and that's where we got the colleges of education. And I've always said, as a school board member and as a superintendent, if I was given a magic wand one day and said you can only change one thing, what would I do? No doubt in my mind, I would get rid of the colleges of education and change how we train our teachers. But their goal, and they said it very publicly, was to turn our country cultural Marxist, secular humanist, you know, to change America. And the best way to do it is to have the children, and be indoctrinating them. You know, some things, people just can't believe how much the system has changed since they were in school. I don't want to date myself with how old I am, but I still remember to this day, the day that my first grade teacher stopped reading to us from the Bible. And we all said, Miss Merrill, you forgot something. And she said, boys and girls, I'm sorry, I'm not allowed to any longer. And, you know, we've taken God out of our schools. We've taken God out of our country in just about every way we possibly can. And where, you know, I admit, I grew up in the 60s. I remember all the strife we had over civil rights. And now it's basically being undone. There's some, with the critical race theory, they're advocating to go back to a segregated society and literally turning innocent children against each other for no other reason than looking at a skin color or asking what is your nationality. And that's shameful. And as far as sex ed goes, you know, so many parents don't realize it's what it used to be once upon a time in the schools or districts that it was in, where it used to be biology, it no longer is. It is now sexual instruction for how to help these children to participate in these activities. And, you know, we had a bill here in Arizona that would have banned it from kindergarten through fourth grade. Our Republican governor vetoed that bill.
Yeah, and I want to talk, too, about, you know, just how this interplays with the Communist Manifesto in Chapter 2 of the Communist Manifesto, to be specific, where it was very clearly stated that they wanted to abolish all morality, all truth, all religion. They wanted to abolish private property. They wanted to abolish the family. They wanted to abolish borders and nationality. And they were very, very clear where they were approaching. And that is now actually becoming the curriculum in government schools.
Absolutely. And the part that always, I should say actually never ceases to amaze me, is that they're always very crystal clear. They always tell us exactly what they're going to do. They tell us exactly how they're going to do it. I mean, the plan was there. It has been all laid out for decades. But yet we never seem to believe it. And we're always, you know, way behind the ball in trying to stop these things because nobody wants to believe it when it's happening. But of course, it's, you know, primarily it's the belief in God that has to be dismantled and destroyed. And it has to be relative moral values. You know, you think stealing's wrong and I think it's okay. So which one do we pick? And the way our courts are upholding this is crazy.
In fact, they are emboldening everything that's happening right now. And I want to talk a little bit about how at the state level, was there anything that you could do about this, or what? Where was the resistance coming from? Who is pushing this agenda in the modern times? And what did they have in store for our kids here in the next 5 years? Where is this headed?
Well, you have to back up a little bit. When I ran for office in 2015, or actually 2014, I was running for office, we weren't talking about critical race theory. Yes, we were talking about sex ed. That's been on the agenda for a long time. And although critical race theory has been around, it's been at the universities, it's been back behind the scenes for quite some time now. When I ran for office, it was Common Core. And the government takeover of our education system through Common Core. And while I was very open at the time when I campaigned in Arizona, the superintendent of public instruction, although it's an elected position and it's one of the five executive offices within our state, really has very little authority over the actual education policies. It's more an administrative position that makes sure the schools get the money that the government confiscates in order to run the schools, but you have a big bully pulpit. Well, I said I would do my best to get rid of Common Core and get our standards back under our control. And I wasn't in office 2 or 3 weeks when my office received a call from, I would just say, an emissary of the governor, who was also a Republican, who said that was basically the message to me was Common Core isn't going anywhere. That was a cute little campaign tactic, Diane, but Common Core isn't going anywhere. And that as an elected official, the fifth highest elected official in the state, I reported to the president of our appointed State Board of Education. So that's kind of the battle I was fighting, and while we were allowed to make some changes to the Common Core standards, the governor was very clear that they would not be removed, they could not be replaced. And it's just continually spiraled from there. Before I left office, I tried to get our state board to implement for the whole state the Hillsdale-Barney charter standards. And then when I left office, ultimately, because of the Republican politics involved, we now have a very left Democrat superintendent of public instruction. And her goal number one getting in office was to get changes to the sex ed standards to make them, or not standards, I apologize, state board rules. And we had a statute in Arizona called the No Promo Homo, where you weren't allowed to promote homosexual lifestyle to our students. She got that repealed within less than 4 months of being in office, and she now has created her own division of equity, diversity, and inclusion. And that's how, you know, our schools, our superintendents of the local districts are, of course, lean more left than right. So when the Department of Ed says, do this stuff, they go, great, give us the training. Even our Arizona School Board Association, which is supposed to help elected representatives better represent the parents at the school district, has done, I think it's 7 years of training for school board members on critical race theory. And Arizona is supposed to be a conservative state. So if that's what's happening here, you can just imagine what's happening in other states.
So that there are a lot of parents that still think, oh, it's not that bad. It's really not that bad. Can you give us a flavor for some of the things that are about to come out in curriculum, or where they want to head with curriculum in most of the major cities around this country, as far as the government school system is concerned?
Well, before we talk about what may be coming into the curriculum in school districts, let's talk about what's not in the curriculum in school districts, because the primary job of the education system, in my opinion, and I'll preface this comment with one of the things I found most surprising, and I'd been on a school board, I'd served there, I'd been active in local politics at different, as a precinct committeeman and different things for a very long time. So I did not go down to Phoenix as the superintendent, politically naive by any stretch of the imagination. But what I discovered was that neither side of the aisle really wants to fix what's wrong with our education system. The left wants to continue to use it to indoctrinate children into the Marxist philosophy and change the underpinnings of our nation, if you will. And the right merely wants to make little worker bees. They don't want to educate children for critical thinking. They talk about critical thinking all the time, but they don't truly educate the children in critical thinking, not logic, reasoning, discernment, pursuit of truth. They want to tell them, and it sounds like a cliche, but they want to teach them what to think, not how to think, and they want it to be in that Marxist agenda. So we've known since the 1950s why our children can't read, but yet we do nothing to fix it. We don't teach them to read. We don't teach them to write. We don't teach them to do basic arithmetic. And if you school children in those three things, the reality is they don't need a school system anymore, because with discipline, they can learn anything they want in the whole wide world.
Right. This is actually creating, through curriculum, an alternative reality where the very moorings, the very foundations can be eroded, or in some cases, they're attempting to completely eliminate them. For example, that there is such a thing as a man and a woman, and those are two genders, and that's it. I want to get your comment before we get into what to do about this, about some of the most outrageous changes to curriculum that you've seen that maybe some Americans, some parents have not heard about.
Before we do that, if I could just give a little shout out for parents who want to truly understand what's going on in their children's education and exactly how long, what it took me 30 years to study. The New American, which is a magazine from the John Birch Society, they just issued a new issue that was redundant of Save Our Children, and they did one previously, Rescuing Our Children. I mean, what I studied for 30 years, they can get a Reader's Digest version to understand the big picture very quickly, very, very fast on how to do that. So, and where am I going from there now that I did that? I mean, it's so important that parents understand that. No, yes, it is your school. It is your children's school. And you have to understand what they're doing, why they're doing it, and quite frankly, why it can't be changed.
That's in what are the alternatives now, right? Because parents are saying, well, I can't possibly teach my kids. You know, that's a separate argument for a little bit different program. Because I believe that is the very first and foremost job of parents is to train up their kids in the way that they should go, other than making sure they're safe.
That is what God tells us.
Right.
That is what God tells us. It is our responsibility. And believe me, educrats do not think it is parents' responsibility. They, oh, yes, you can maybe teach them some of that moral stuff, but when it comes to education, butt your nose out and let us do what we do best, which is not what they do best. And, you know, I don't know, obviously, what it was like in Washington, but our schools were shut down because of what I call the panic-demic, thanks to our government here. They were shut down for all intent and purposes from March until, in many cases, December and even afterwards with just remote learning. Well, parents, if you could take care of your kids and find a way to get through that where they weren't learning anything, basically, you can keep doing it on your own. There's lots of great resources out there to parents. Publicschoolexit.com If you don't think you can homeschool, go to that website, and you will get a lot of resources on exactly how to do it. I mean, and I don't mean to sound like I'm making light of the challenges that parents face, but, you know, one of the problems is the government has set up a school system. When our country began, our school, what school, quote-unquote, system there was very Christian. You know, the old Deluder Satan Act was to teach children to read so they could read the Bible and never be deluded by Satan. And we've gotten away from that. And, you know, there are just so many ways that they can do this, but government set up the system, government made it compulsory, government then co-opted the system through John Dewey and made it very very Marxist, quite frankly. It's based on the Prussian system. And then they also confiscate the money to run their own system so that parents are left with virtually no other option. But there truly, truly are ways.
Yeah. So let's talk about the options out there for parents right now. What can parents be doing right now if they don't want their kid in a government school system? What can they do? How should they approach it? Because it can seem overwhelming and daunting to some people.
Well, one small step they can take, and once again, I don't know how it is up in the Washington area, but here in Arizona, we're one of the leaders in charter schools. That's one small step, in my opinion, to get parents used to getting their kids. Charter schools are still government-funded schools. Here in Arizona, they just play by different rules. But many of, especially the larger chains of them, tend to be more back to basics, more classical education. So at least it's still government funding running it, but you're getting hopefully a little better product. But parents always have to be looking very, very hard at the curriculum that their school is teaching. So if they can't go to that, they can if they have the ability. They can go to private schools. Again, here in Arizona, and I'm sorry, it doesn't necessarily play well in Washington. We have school tuition organizations that parents, actually any taxpayer in Arizona, if you owe money to the government, the Arizona government, you can donate it to a school tuition organization. Then parents can apply for those tuitions and pay a private school tuition for their children. But we need parents to be thinking more creatively. If you can't personally homeschool your child all by yourself or you don't feel confident doing it, and I admit, when my daughter was young in the early 1990s, I thought about homeschooling and I chickened out. So, but schools weren't as crazy then as they are now. But look at ways that maybe you can work with like-minded parents and create a small homeschooling pod. And another thing we've been encouraging parents to do is our churches must get back into education. They Amen. Must. And one of the things they can do, there's so many different ways they can do it. And if they contact us at Public School Exit, we can show pastors the various different ways. You can run a school if you want. But unfortunately, what I find here in Arizona, many of our parochial schools, they're basically the government school with a Bible class or two. You know, they're still following what's essentially the Common Core standards. So that doesn't help. But if they don't want to run the school themselves, if the church doesn't have the resources, heavens to Betsy, those church buildings sit empty the vast majority of the week. So make it open. Let homeschoolers come in there. And if they pool together, they can hire a teacher. You know, one of the other awful things about our government education system is it wouldn't hurt to get back to the one-room schoolhouse where children of different ages are working together, studying together, learning together. Now we keep, boy, if you're 5 years old, you're here, you're in kindergarten, that's it. All you get to deal with is five-year-olds and a teacher. You know, whatever grade the kid is in, that's not human life. The way we live is we interact with all people of all ages, but not in a government school. So, you know, we can help pastors. They've got to get back in this game. They're called to be in this game by God.
Well, let's talk about public school LexAid. Tell the listeners a little bit about what it is and in why it's working so well, what the resources are there, and where people can go to find out more information.
They can go on publicschoolexit.com, and it's very simple and easy to follow. They will get all kinds of articles. They will get information. We did podcasts on helping answer parents' questions on how they can get started in homeschooling. We also have a small consulting group concept to talk to pastors and try to help them understand how they can get back in the game. Again, another, you know, such an important piece of it is for parents to understand the history. And it took me a long time to understand that this can't be fixed. This can't be fixed because it isn't broken. So, you know, once again, I would encourage them to educate themselves, and not to sound like a broken record, but the New American with their Save Our Children, Rescuing Our Children, lots of great information in there. The newest one, Save Our Children, has a great article just on what we were talking about, the critical race theory that's coming into schools and what parents will actually see. You know, one of our local school districts here in Arizona, the parents were asking a lot of questions about it, what's going on with critical race theory. And the administration was telling them, oh, no, we don't do that in this school district. We don't have any of that in this school district. And yet when they did a public records request, oh, yes, they're doing lots with critical race. You know, and that's another thing for parents, too. Even if they take their children out of government schools and find a much better way to educate them, the government schools are still taking your money. So it always saddened me as a governing board member that there were rarely any parents coming and watching the decisions elected officials were making on their behalf. Those boardrooms should be packed. You know, we're seeing it now for almost a year. Our attorney general allowed every public body to live stream their meetings rather than opening up the doors and letting people actually come into the meetings. And it was virtually impossible to follow and hear. Now they're starting to open up these meetings again, and they're throwing parents out. You know, they don't want them there. They don't want them asking questions or knowing what's going on. And that's not our form of government. So parents really need to engage, whether they're, and not just parents, taxpayers need to engage, whether they have children in the system or not.
Absolutely. And if we don't stand up now, we may not have the opportunity to do it later.
I believe that is the road we were on. You know, I've often said I've been studying education. I've literally served on every rung of the ladder, not as a certified teacher, not as an employee of the district, but literally from the parent volunteer in the classroom, school board, all the way up to the, had the honor to be the superintendent here in Arizona. And I often thought that God put me in that position so I could quote unquote fix education. And I came to realize he put me in that position to hit me on the head with a 2x4 and say, Diana, it can't be saved. It is against our children, it is against our families, and it is against our country, and it is against our God. And we can't sit by and watch it continue.
Amen. Amen. Well, Diana, I want to thank you very much for joining me on Patriot Radio today. And if you could plug one more time where the folks can go to get more information.
Yes, please, please, folks, go to thenewamerican.com and look for, and the New American is run by the John Birch Society, just so everybody knows, and look for the current edition of Save Our Children magazine, and you can also still get copies of the second edition of Rescuing Our Children. And please, parents, go to publicschoolexit.com. We have contact information on there. And it's not as hard as you think, and it is the single most important duty you have.
Amen. I really appreciate everything you're doing. Diane Douglas, former superintendent of public instruction for the state of Arizona, thank you so much for joining me on Patriot Radio today. Blessings to you, and keep up the fight.
I sure will. Thank you, Matt.
All right. And I'm posting a bunch of different articles up right now, and you can go check them out. I post them across all kinds of different social media platforms right now. Facebook, Gab, Twellit, Magabook, MeWe, WeSpeak, tons, and on LinkedIn even too, tons across the board. So don't think that you can't find the information out. Go check out, especially my page on Gab. It is absolutely fantastic. They don't delete anything. They don't censor you. It's really, really good. So go check that out and make sure you're educating your friends and family members on what's actually happening here in America, because it's nobody can say they didn't know anymore. Nobody can say they didn't know. Might be able to say that they didn't know the extent, but not even really that anymore. There's so much information out there. There's so much going on that you can't be ignorant of the facts. And there's so many primary source documents that are backing these things up. So go get educated on this stuff. Educate your friends and family. On Sundays, 10 o'clock at the Doubletree Hotel downtown, where we are having our weekly service for On Fire Ministries. We want to empower, we want to equip the body of Jesus Christ to go out and walk out the kingdom of God everywhere we go. And we've got to know our Bibles. We've got to know our identity in Christ and what we've been called to. And we've got to be unafraid to get out there and make that happen. Again, one more reminder, this Saturday at 9 o'clock at the Doubletree Hotel, we're going to be doing downtown, we're going to be doing a Freedom Weekend. Peggy Golden is going to be teaching and ministering. Invite all of you to attend. Blessings to you all. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for joining me on Patriot Radio. Keep up the fight.